Welcome to the Portland Christian Center Podcast. This week, we will hear from Pastor Bill on Together in Testimony. We will also hear a few testimonies from members of Portland Christian Center. Now here is Pastor Bill.
Together is our series. We're talking about the things that help us move from where we are to where we'd like to be. And since you're all sitting, I'm going to sit down. Has nothing to do with my age, by the way. I'm fine. Joy and I were in Eastern Oregon last week, so we got to watch most of the gathering before we went to the gathering that we were asked to attend. So it was good. You all looked great on camera, by the way. Some of you didn't know you were on camera, but you looked good. I'm glad you were all involved. So, did you know that the person sitting next to you has a significant story? They have a significant story. And did you know that that story matters to God? Yes. Your life matters to God. And because you matter to God, you matter to me and you matter to this church. Sometimes we can sit next to people or greet one another and not really know the story that that person has. And there's something about testimonies that are pretty incredible. And this morning I'd like to share some testimonies with you, personal stories that I think will inspire you and also help you with where you are in your faith. Your life, the life of a church, rallies around story and testimony. Now, when I was a kid, growing up in a small rural church in America, in the midweek gathering, the Wednesday night service, some of you will remember that it was quite common for people to just stand in a service and give a personal story or testimony. There were a few who gave the same thing every time, but there were others who actually had something new to say and fresh. And there were some that I'll never forget, like the time that one lady stood up and she was so excited that her son Vern had given his heart to the Lord. And we all remember it because Vern was like a big football star in our school and community, and he'd married one of the Darlene in our church, a beautiful young lady and part of the core family of the church. And Vern was kind of new, and his mom came, and he had some brothers and so on. And in a service, the service stopped, and Vern stood up and said to my dad, who was the pastor, "Pastor Wilson, I need to get right with God," right in the middle of the service. Wow, that was a night we'll never forget. Big Vern gave his heart to the Lord in front of us all. And a few weeks later, his mom in one of these testimony services stood up and she said, "I just want to thank the Lord that Vern gave his heart to the Lord. And I just wish these two boys that are sitting right in front of me, they're his brothers, would give their hearts to the Lord." Those are nights you'll never forget, I'll tell you what. I still wonder if they ever did. I don't know. They were pretty rough characters. I want you to read the scripture with me this morning from Psalm 105. It says, "Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him." Let's all read this highlighted portion. "Tell of all his wonderful acts." There you go, keep going. "Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord in his strength. Seek his face always and remember the wonders he has done." There is something about you verbalizing the wonderful acts of God. There is something about when you don't know what else to say, you can share what God's done in your life. That's a personal testimony. You might not be able to argue or articulate why you believe in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You may not be able to clearly describe what it means to be baptized in the Holy Spirit or know all the verses of the Bible with regards to the second coming of Christ for his church. But you can, and nobody can ever argue with, what God has done in your life, your personal testimony. We are to declare his wonderful acts. And this morning, I'd like you to welcome, if you would, Serge and Vanessa Dakota. If you would welcome them to the platform, come on up here, Serge. Take one of these fine seats that we have purchased. They're even padded. Serge, good to see you, my friend. God bless you. Vanessa, God bless you. Sit down. Welcome. Welcome. Now, I understand you used to live in Canada. In fact, Serge, you grew up in Canada, if I'm not mistaken, Montreal area?
Correct.
That's right. What in the world brought you from Montreal? Beautiful city, isn't it a beautiful city? Yeah. Cold in the winter?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll have you hold that mic right up close so I can... So what brought you to Portland, Oregon?
Work.
Work. Okay. The idea was that you were not to give one-word answers. Okay. Because I'll run out of questions here that I wrote down. Well, that was fine. Nice to meet you. So, yeah, you, work, right. Okay. How many of you moved here for work? A lot of people. Okay. So, well, let's find out what he does. What do you do for work?
I'm a soccer coach.
Soccer coach.
Yes.
For the?
For the Portland Timbers.
All right. Okay. The Portland Timbers. Serge, I think going to a Timbers game is like going to church in some ways, you know, because they have a song leader. They have people who sing the whole time while you're there, right?
Yes.
They have people waving their hands and just people are energetic and you feel like you're running into all your friends and everybody wears the same color. So what a great opportunity. So you came to work with them. Did you both grow up as Christian believers, as young people? Your parents were pastors? Right? How about you, Vanessa?
So I grew up in a, let's say, Catholic house.
Okay.
My mom wouldn't make us read the Bible without really telling us why we're reading it.
Yes.
We would go to church on Christmas, really. But that's about it. And then I met him about a little bit under 6 years ago.
Yes.
He brought me to his church. And the first time the pastor kind of like here asked if anyone would raise their hand and accept the Lord as their saviors, just do it. And I felt in my heart to do so.
Right here?
No, in Montreal.
In a church,
but
okay.
I did get baptized here three weeks ago.
Yeah, you were baptized here. Yeah, all right. You were both blessed with parents who tried to instill some understanding of the Bible and Christian faith. Even though they may have struggled a little bit in doing that, in your case, Vanessa and Serge, your parents wanted you to know about Jesus. But isn't it wonderful that with that background, God could pick you up wherever you are in life? Mm-hmm. You don't have to like be a super Christian or a believer or churchgoer before he gets a hold of your life. Mm-hmm. But when he gets a hold of your life, things really, really change. So tell me about being a soccer coach and being a believer, because I've met some soccer coaches who I know are not believers. Especially when they lose, right? Yeah, so tell me, how does that play out in your faith, and your faith story, Serge?
It's actually a good question, because yesterday we had a friendly game up in Seattle. We played a club team called Crossfire. And you might not believe me, but after exactly 9 minutes, we were losing 3-0.
Whoa, I missed that game.
We ended up winning 5-3, but no, you ask how it relates to me being a soccer coach. So during those 9 minutes, I've rarely in my young career as a coach felt so embarrassed, because you train, you work so hard the whole week, and the boys obviously did not apply the things they were supposed to do. And in this moment, I felt two things, you know, in my human flesh, the reaction is to, one, shout at the guys and just scream at them, or two, just sit down and tell myself, oh, it's not me, I have no part in this. But actually, the Holy Spirit really, I can tell, worked things on me, because I remained calm. I tried to figure out, obviously, what was wrong. And I stayed really calm, and I tried to remain positive, which is something it's really important to me to try to be a role model for the players. And some of them know that I'm Christian, some of them are Christians too, so it's that additional pressure that I need to make sure that my testimony remains good even when we lose. And yeah, just being positive and constructive, and the guys figured it out, and then it was a good game that we won 5-3.
All right. I think something you said there, I think we all need to take into consideration that whatever we do, whether we're a famous soccer coach for the Timbers, or we are, you know, we're doing the mundane type employment or whatever it might be, that there are moments when you're like, what do I do? Because there's a natural reaction that can come, but there's also, Lord, I need wisdom on how to deal with this employee, this boss, with this team, with this player. God really, he downloaded some wisdom for you in that moment because you could have reacted one way or the other. That's good. Tell me, how did you get to Portland Christian Center?
Actually, that was January 2019, because when we moved from Montreal, we were living in a, you might not believe this, but Vanessa and I were father and mother of 18 kids or so in the house, teenage boys.
All the players were living at your house.
Yeah.
Like you were house parents.
Yes, so I was basically doing breakfast, lunch, dinner, driving them around, making sure they're
school. That would bring me to Jesus too, I'll tell you right there.
Definitely, he definitely gave me a lot of patience that wow. I very much
so needed. You became, you're the coach, but you're also the house parents for this young up-and-coming soccer team of collection of all over the world kind of guys. So okay, so you're I get this picture of this house with 18 teenage boys and mom taking care of them.
Yes. And then we moved in November 2018, went back for the holidays in Montreal. And then when we came back to Portland, it was very important for us to find a church that we could go whenever we would have free time, if that even existed. And we came here, and it was actually one of the meet and greets. And we met Pastor Sarah, and she's like, oh, guys, we have these amazing sausage-wrapped bacons. Like, you should definitely try them. Like, come to the meet and greet. She basically, like, lured us with them. and we did. We met her and met Pastor Matt, and we just felt at home immediately, and we've been coming ever since.
Wow. Wow. Sausage bacon. I didn't realize that was an evangelistic tool, but that's good. That's good. We are so thankful that God brought you here. And that this is part of your story. A lot of stuff before you got to Portland Christian Center. And now you're in this very important position of influencing young men, not only in a sport to win, but in life. And they are blessed to have a couple like you who say, hey, listen, God's going to use us to help shape your life. That's right. What's one piece of advice you'd give this church about your experience coming here? And what do you think God's saying to us today? I didn't have that in the list, so you probably didn't give much thought about it. But
we're like, oh no, we didn't prepare this.
Yeah, that's okay. Just what's God saying, Serge?
I think love. That's the word that would come to me. Love is what got us to stick around here, to grow in the. We're developing a community with some of you guys that we're getting more familiar with every Sunday. And I think it's really when we feel loved, I think everything else comes after that. So to keep being the advice would be to keep being a loving community.
Wow, what a great line. Stretch your hands out. Father, we thank you for Serge and Vanessa and their story. You keep writing that story. And Lord, we pray your blessing. And I pray especially for Serge as he's coaching these young men that he will be a bright light. May many of them come to know you. May they discover that their visit here and their time in the Timbers organization isn't just to play soccer, but it's to find out about Jesus. We ask that in thy name. Amen. Thank you for sharing your story. Thank you so much. Okay. God bless you. Hey, would you give a warm welcome to Nicole Shelton, please? Hi, Nicole. Welcome.
Hi.
Nice to see you.
I'm not going to look at you guys too much.
Yeah, I told Nicole we're just going to have a great conversation. Now, Nicole, you need to know this for a couple of reasons. I think, first of all, is Nicole is on staff here at Portland Christian Center. And Nicole, tell us what your new role, just recent hire here.
Yes, I got the opportunity to be operations manager. So what I like to say is it's not glamorous, but we get things done. And it's important. That's why you go in the bathrooms and they're clean and things are in there. So it's all the little things set up for, you know, events and that sort of thing.
So this is the lady that makes your facility here at Portland Christian Center. She runs a wonderful team, by the way, great team of people. She's in charge of it all, so you need to know that, so don't mess with her, okay? All right. Thank you, Nicole. Yeah, we love your team, and keeping the house of the Lord in order is a real honor.
Keep them in check.
Yeah, that's true. Nicole, have you always been a Christ follower?
I have not, no. I went to church a few times when I was young, but they really kind of yelled at you, and I left church feeling more scared.
Stop right there. They yelled at you?
Well, the pastor, just the way he taught was yelling.
It was like yelling.
Yeah, it was okay. All scary, like,
I haven't
scare
done,
you
I haven't
into
done that yet.
No, never.
Okay, all right, so no. So the delivery was more pushed you back, like you were a little nervous about it and not comfortable. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I didn't know about the whole love thing that everybody talks about. Didn't.
Never saw it.
Yeah, no.
Okay, all right. And by the way, Jake, who is...
Oh, he's there now.
Right there. Oh, Jake, send my joy. All right, welcome, Jake. Jake is Nicole's husband, and thanks for letting her. Yeah. So you had gone to church a little bit, knew a little bit, but you weren't a believer.
No, I never asked God into my heart. I knew there was something out there. When I was 18, I got this little poorly done cross tattoo, and there were times that I wished that it wasn't there because it doesn't look good, it's not done well, but I thought, you know, I don't know about this. But it's kind of funny because now it's like it's always been with me, you know, and God's always been there, and I just didn't know till now, you know, looking back.
Your life was pretty messed up.
Yeah, I was making bad decisions.
Yeah. Just not to glorify that, but to give context.
Right.
Tell me a little bit of what maybe kind of where you were coming from at that point. Where did the enemy likes to lead us into terrible stuff?
Right. Just a tiny bit of background before that. I came from generational chains of broken marriages and alcoholism and father wounds of all types. You think it was in my family. And so from that stems a sense of needing to be loved and belong and just really needing to be needed. So I know that in high school, I wanted to be loved, so I wouldn't have a problem or really think twice if I went from this boyfriend to this boyfriend and back and forth, because if they showed they cared about me, then I was like, okay, I'll go to you. And that led into poor decisions as an adult. It feels shameful to say, but even within my marriage, just to give context, I haven't, not many people know, but I found myself one day drinking Hennessy in the morning before getting on the back of another married man's motorcycle. And that's just not good decisions. Yeah. So
that was your life.
Yeah.
What was the turnaround moment? When did you realize I need Jesus in my life? Was that an instantaneous moment, or did somebody kind of lead you through conversation, or tell me a little bit about that?
It was definitely a process. I realized that's not good decision making, so I did decide to stop that. And shortly, like right after I decided to stop pursuing that kind of lifestyle, I had started feeling I didn't recognize myself in a very literal way, which scared me. I didn't know what that feeling was, and I started having feelings of fear and anxiety, and I don't know if anyone's ever had panic attacks, but it was like one long, long panic attack. And I lost my train of thought here.
No, you're good. You're good. So did somebody talk to you about Jesus?
Oh, yes, yes. So I was in a really dark place. I kept spiraling in fear, and I believe it was depression. It was just the scariest place I had ever been. It was a fog almost that I was in, and I was at work. I would go about my daily life. Like, I went to work, but I was just feeling not myself. I didn't eat. I didn't want to talk to people or anything, and I didn't know how to come out of it. And I had a coworker that was, she went to church. She asked me to go to church with her, so I decided to, and she gave me a devotional called 100 Days to Brave, and I read it, and I didn't know what I was doing, but she guided me to begin.
So this coworker reached out to you,
yeah,
invited you, gave you a devotional. You were reading something you really didn't even know what you're reading, but God's
yeah.
word was being planted in your heart.
Very much.
And it began to change the way you think.
Mm-hmm. And I was really interested and almost weirded out by how specific these days were. And it wasn't every day, but some days I was like, somebody wrote this for me. Somebody's watching me. This is weird. But I kept going with it.
So God knew what you needed, and so you'd open up a devotional, and hey, that's exactly what's happening in my life.
Yeah.
And did somebody pray with you, or did you pray on your own?
Little of both. What really got me was worship music, going into church. I just flooded my brain with lots of Christian music, getting around this friend of mine. She did Bible studies with me.
Yeah.
And just, I believed that I would be okay and I would pull out of that fog.
Yeah.
I really trusted it, and I didn't know why, but I just kept fighting. And I have family members that have mental health, I don't want to call it issues, but there's a lot of medication in my family, and I kept thinking, do I need to take some? Do I need to go to the doctor? I mean, I was in a place I needed that, and I was able to pull through because of what God did for me. No medication, no going to the doctor, just figured it out through prayer and, everything He did for me.
Wow. And aren't you thankful, Jake? God rescued her for you. Yeah, what a story. What would you say to individuals who are here? It's not necessarily young people, but mm-hmm. primarily maybe young people. What would you say when it comes to identity and trying to figure out who you are with baggage and maybe lots of hurts, offenses, things that we wouldn't even want to talk about publicly, but left deep scars? What would you say, how has Jesus really changed that for you?
A couple years ago, I would not be up here. No way would I have been any amount of comfortable. But He just gives this strength and power that is like nothing else. When you hear that His peace transcends all understanding, it is so true. And it doesn't mean I don't experience some fear or anxiety, but it's remembering to focus my mind on Him and His promises and trusting in that. And it always pulls through.
Very good. Very good. Very good word. Well, mark it down on the 5th of September, 2021, I preached my first sermon. Father, I thank You for Vanessa's story. And I think of people who are here this morning or watching online who maybe feel some of the same anxieties, or they've made errors or found themselves on the back of a motorcycle with somebody else that they shouldn't be with. Or perhaps they're looking to the bottle to help them get through, or drugs or whatever it might be. May Vanessa's story remind them that You deliver and You heal. You heal memory, You heal body, and You give a new reason to live. I thank You for the history that Vanessa has with You. And although it's been a short-lived life with You, it has been a remarkable story of grace, strength, and healing. And we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Oh, have I been? It's Nicole.
First, yeah.
Yeah. What did I call you?
Vanessa. It's okay.
Vanessa.
We have a Vanessa also.
That was the last one.
That's okay.
Will you forgive me?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, good.
Thank
All right. God bless you. Thanks so much. God bless you. How many of you guys are married? So here's what God gave you a helpmate, and that's Joy this morning, helping me make the right decisions of saying the right words. So thank you, Joy. I appreciate that in front of everybody. So Jason Moline, would you join me here, please? Let's welcome Pastor Jason Moline. I love being around you, Jason. You have so many great qualities, and I know that that's why Courtney married you. You have two children, right? Sophia and Anthony, is it?
Yes.
Are they here?
Yep.
Okay. PK, stand up so we can see you.
All Anthony.
Right. There you go, buddy. Courtney, you're welcome to join us if you want to sit up here, but you don't have to. Okay. Pastor Jason, tell us your role here. I saw it on the screen, but I've heard different titles, so give us the one you like best.
Yeah. The one I like best, Fighting for the Generation Now.
All right.
That would be my title. But no, I'm the lead youth pastor here at Portland Christian Center.
Yeah, and how long have you been here?
Man, a little over a year and a half. It seems longer, but yeah.
Well, you know,
COVID.
How would you like to show up to a job and then within a few weeks they shut everything down because of COVID, and you're trying to think like, okay, I'm supposed to be in charge of something, and God's going to give you a special award because there was an instant reward here initially because of the way things were set up with all the restrictions. But thank you for sticking it out. God's done a lot in your life, and most people don't know your story. That's why I asked if you'd be willing to share a little bit of it so that we have context. Because one of the things when we were first talking, you said, well, I'm not sure people even know who I am because we haven't been gathering together. And I said, oh, yeah, that would be real tough. But did you grow up in a Christian home situation? I help me remember that.
Yeah, I grew up in a home where my mom did her best to raise me. I have my grandpa. His family was always brought my mom and up in the Lord, and then my mom did her best to what she could at that time to bring
single,
us.
Single mom, or an abandoned father. Or
yeah. So there's a part by I come from kind of what Nicole comes from a father who did not raise or be a great husband to my mother. To give you guys some context of what my life looked like as I was growing up, my life and my vision was of watching a mom get beat, watching me and my sisters have that same affection or love that he would give us. That was my life. There'd be many times where he would just leave us and we would have no food. We were just on our own. So he was in the picture for a while, but he wasn't there as a father. And so that's kind of the context. And then long story short is that my mom was eventually able to get away from that. And then she was raising us as a single mom. I was at my grandma and grandpa's a lot. And she raised us the best she could and did everything to get us to church.
Thank the Lord for your mom.
Yeah.
Thank the Lord for your mom.
Yeah.
Wow. So you came from an abuse situation, pretty poor example. Your mom tried to get you into church. When was that day when you realized Jesus loved you and that God could be a heavenly father to you?
Yeah. You know, going from that type of lifestyle, unfortunately, I actually followed my father's footsteps. Not in abuse, but as in going down dark roads that he went down. And so I stepped away from my family and just abandoned everything, went to the lifestyle of, you know, drugs, alcohol, and living out of what I felt was enjoyment. And then where my life switched was this, and I just want to speak to all you praying moms. My mom never gave up on me. My mom got into battles and battles of prayer for me. Yes, God redeemed me. but it was my mom who never gave up, who never shamed me, and always showed the love of Christ to me. And on the day that I ended up giving or switching was the day she kept on inviting me to church, and I would say no, no, no. And then there was one day she invited me, and she said, it was on her birthday, and she says, only gift I want for my birthday is for you to come to church.
Wow.
That was the day that the Holy Spirit got a hold of my heart. And I didn't give it that day, but what happened was this. I went home knowing the lifestyle I was in, and I'm sitting on my couch. And that's when the Holy Spirit said, what are you doing? And I just start crying and breaking down, saying, what am I doing? Right then and there, I said, I gotta change. Went to church the next week, found myself at the altar. God redeemed me.
Wow, what a story. What was like one of the first things that was really noticeable to your mom that you had really given your heart to the Lord?
I ditched all my friends and I ended up moving back in her house. And I got to say this, you know, to be very open to you guys. Another part of my story is this. It was older men. It was older women that surrounded me. And when I was weak, they were strong. When my faith was lacking, their faith was strong. And they were there to pick me up, and they surrounded me. And I just want to say to everyone, there's so many generations here. Do not underestimate the knowledge and power and the faith that you guys have built to help these generations right over here. Because they were there when I was hurting. And you know what, in the time that I was there, I was like, man, I'm just like, all my friends, they're young. And I was like, man, I'm just hanging out with all these older people, and it got me down. I gotta be honest, but you know what? It was part of my story that got me to where I'm at right now, was those men surrounding me, picking me up and saying, I'm here to walk this with you.
Yeah, that's a, you know, sometimes we think, well, I can't connect. Right now, in my opinion, and this may be yours as well, if it's not, it should be.
Yes, sir.
Finally, I found somebody to call me sir. the opportunity for us to speak into the life of others, to mentor, to be sages, be a voice, that the younger generation, am I right?
Yeah.
You guys are looking for mature people who would believe in you.
Yeah.
And show you the way. And I think it's always been that way, but I think especially now, especially in situations like you described where there is that missing father,
yep,
or mother to guide and direct. What do you want to say to the church about the current generation?
The current generation, they just need something to really believe in. And they ask questions, and they're skeptical about things, but when they grab it, they're in. And I believe that this generation is facing things that none of us have faced. It may have been there, but it is in their culture, and it is very strong and in front of them. Back to the wisdom, you guys could help them be there. We prayed earlier, that's one time, but you guys need to be praying every day for them, because that's what's gonna help this generation, is that they know they have a body of Christ that is behind them, praying for them. When something's wrong, they can go to you and have you guys spill your knowledge and love for our generation.
I wanna pray for you. Courtney, would you mind if you came up? And we're really glad the Lord brought you to Portland Christian Center. You guys are a gift to us. Love our children and our youth, and raising your own kids here, that's a big deal. You left a comfortable environment and sacrificed a lot, sold your motorcycle to move here. That's a big deal. Maybe someday he'll get another one. I don't know. Father, I thank you today for Pastor Jason and Courtney. Lord, I thank you for their stories and the fact that they crossed paths and that they have married and have these beautiful children, and that you brought them to Portland to make a difference in this generation, the now generation. I pray your anointing upon them, and may their story continue to bless hundreds and thousands as you lead them to use it. And we pray for our youth today. We prayed for them to go back to school, but we pray for this generation that they'll rise up. Fill this auditorium with this generation, Lord. Fill every seat with the young generation. Bring us together in some setting where this auditorium is filled with the now generation. As Pastor Jason and Courtney and others who work with them, Lord, will lead them. We thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Amen. Thanks for sharing your story. Thanks for coming. I wonder what God's up to in your life. I can't have you all come up here. There were so many that I thought, oh, I'd love, maybe we'll do this again. I just wonder what the next chapter is in your life. Not the life of the church per se, but you personally. You know, I love the words of Paul when he says, he who began a good work will continue it in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. I've hung on to that because there are so many times when I think I arrived only to discover there's another page to be written, another chapter to be written. I so pray that our stories, whether they are like those that were represented today or they're totally different, that you will always remember that God is at work, that prayer does change things, praying parents and investing churches and seniors who take time to say hi and invest are making a difference. Because in the building is testimony, and we do so much better in testimony together. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, thank you for these stories, and thank you for the stories that are being written this morning. For those who've walked into the building today who've never thought about giving their life to Christ, would you pray this simple prayer, everyone praying it, and maybe for you it's the first time, but let it come from your heart. I'll give you some words to pray, but let them be your own. Make them your own. You simply pray this prayer, dear Heavenly Father, I surrender my life to you. Forgive me of my sin and make me the person you want me to be. From this day forward, I will follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you'd like to hear more or learn more about us, visit our website at pcctoday.com. Or join us for our live streams at the 9 or 11 a.m. at live.pcctoday.com.